Spotlight with Stacey Pinkerton.
I hope you're having an excellent evening. Tonight we're talking about something that is important. It should involve everyone. It's regarding sexual exploitation. It is something that is happening around the world, and I have someone who's working tirelessly in this, Marianne Steinaholm, who is with Maite Nepal, Marbella, and she is currently doing some fundraising. But I'd like to know a little bit more about Maite Nepal.
Hello. Yes, I started with Maite Nepal. It's an organization in Nepal. They started already in 1993. So they've been established for a long time, and they're one of the most well-known organizations in Nepal working against human trafficking and sexual exploitation. I read about them in 99 in a newspaper, and just like Evelyn, this article just stuck in my head, and I couldn't get it out of my head. And 2 years ago, I decided that I was in a position where I'm maybe a bit settled and just ready to give a lot of myself to do something about it. So I contacted Maite Nepal in Kathmandu, in the head office, and said, I just wrote them an email and said, I want to raise 50,000 euros for you. And I got a shocked email back, and from that's how we started.
And once you raise 50,000 euros for Maite Nepal, what do they do with this money?
Exactly. I get involved a lot in what we do, so I've gone there myself. So it's everything from, for example, broken freezer, things for the kitchen so that they have facilities to cook and make the food for the children. Maite Nepal has a shelter in Kathmandu where it's actually homing at the moment approximately 500 people on full time. And they have a school there for children up to the 10th grade. And out of the children there, they're obviously living there, so it's like boarding because they have no homes to go to. And that, therefore, the facilities need to have a lot of bathrooms, toilets, food facilities. So part of the money I raised has gone to refurbishing all the bathrooms. That was really, really bad. Some of the bedrooms would have humidity problems, so it's really unhealthy to sleep there. So things like this. And I'm focusing a lot on the education, because the Teresa Academy that they have there is obviously the base for all the children to get a proper school education, so that they can, because the problem, as Evelyn was saying, is poverty. And if we can educate the children so that they can get a proper job and go out there and take care of themselves, then we can prevent the human trafficking. So the schooling and the education is very important. So everything such as school books, have the good teachers there, everything they need for the school and the school facilities is something I'm very strongly involved with.
So they get an education, but is there enough work actually in the area for them?
It is difficult with work in Nepal, and the salaries are very, very low. I wasn't aware until I went there, but the salary in Nepal, a yearly salary, is on average $900. So for someone to live on that is very, very low, but it is getting better. So within the hotel business, they're trying to get people to get more jobs. It's a developing country, but without education, obviously, there's absolutely nothing, and that's for them. So in the Teresa Academy, they are teaching them also English, which is very important, so that they can get out there and learn and travel and maybe go to other countries in Asia where there's a lot of also work in tourism.
Marianne, when you were in Nepal, did you happen to see these girls that were actually working in these brothels at all?
We met, obviously, rescued girls. So Maite Nepal also has a shelter slightly outside Kathmandu, which was a big impact for me. That is their HIV center, because a lot of the girls and women that come back also will be coming back affected by HIV. And they will get the antiviral treatments, and they will be looked after and rehabilitated there. So we were also there, and that was obviously very hard, because that's women that they've been through hell and back. That was tough to see. And in the school, also children. What Evelyn didn't mention, but for me, what really affected me is also that a lot of the women, to make them work when they are in India, it may not be little girls like the terrible cases when they are 9 years old, but a lot of them will be maybe 16, 17, 18, and they will have given birth to a child. And what they do in India, some of the women I spoke to, they take the children from them. So if you're a mother...
Who takes the children?
The brothel owners, basically. Women are not trafficked on their own, so they can traffic girls that are 14, 15, 16 years old with a baby. When they come to the brothel, they will take the baby from the mother, and that will be, let's say, the catch. So this way, they actually don't really need... They can send them out to run errands. Because no mother will leave the baby behind. All of a sudden, they have a prisoner that they don't need to lock in. And a lot of the women said that they would have a target. So in some of the really bad cases, they would have a target of 30 men a day. And if they would keep their target up, they would be able to see their baby for 15 minutes on the Sunday. So if they didn't reach the target, they would not bring their babies to them. So they keep the baby separately, and they will bring them back to them like a treat, you know, on the Sunday if they've done a good job for the whole week. And that was what made the women go on, what makes them, because a mother will do anything for their child. Even if you're a young mother and you're 15, 16 years old and you got your baby through a rape, you will still do anything for that baby. That's sort of your life existence, and that's what they use. And if they are not doing as they're told, they will also take it out on the children. So some of the children that I met in Mighty Nepal, which is probably what affected me the most, they might not have been sexually abused. It's also little boys, so they wouldn't have been abused sexually, but they would have been tortured for the mothers to work extra hard. So, you know, they will be burnt with cigarettes. They will be tied up.
Extreme abuse.
Extremely abused, yeah.
Who's doing this? Are these Nepalese?
No, Indian.
Indian.
Indian, yeah. Obviously, some of them work together with, it's big organizations. They work together with, in some cases, Nepalese people, but mainly it's Indian people. And they come over to Nepal. Nepal is so poor. We went outside to really understand how poor it is in Nepal. And you go an hour outside Kathmandu, the people have no electricity, no water. There is no toilets. They live in sheds. And obviously they cannot watch TV, they have no electricity. Most of them don't go to school, so they cannot read. They only work from agriculture. So when some elegant men from India comes and says, you know, your children can get a job in India, in a hotel, fantastic hotel, and support the family, they think this is the best option for the children, and they have no idea about the human trafficking issue.
Yes, and this human trafficking, unfortunately, is happening around the world. It's in the United States, it's in Europe,
it's everywhere.
It's in Asia. And as you mentioned earlier, you do provide also medications for the girls once they're rescued against HIV, all these things. But these men are also going home.
Spreading this on, yeah. This is also one of the problems with the spreading in India. They have in certain areas the belief that if you have HIV and you have a sexual relation with a virgin, you cure your HIV.
And they think there's virgins in brothels.
So they will obviously, if you get the very young girls, then... you're lucky, and then they pay extra price for that. And then what they do is just that they contaminate 7, 8, 9-year-old girls with HIV, and they do not get cured themselves.
No, and I'm supposed that they don't use condoms either.
No.
Well, it's something to think about. We're talking about sexual exploitation, and I have in the studio with me Marianne Steinaholm of Mighty Nepal, Marbella, who is a wonderful woman generously helping out these young women, young girls, to escape exploitation in Nepal area specifically. Only in Nepal, I suppose.
Yes, Mighty Nepal only works in Nepal. Chose that because it seems to be one of the poorest countries in Asia. So it's also very, very heavily attacked out of the whole population. They're estimating approximately 300,000 women and children from Nepal alone are kept as sex slaves around the world. And the country only has 30 million. So that's actually 1% of the country. It's a huge number.
We are talking about human trafficking as well, and it, as I said earlier in the program, if you're just joining in, it is something that happens around the world. And in Spain, if you happen to see something that is suspicious, you just get, listen to your intuition. If you see a tourist who is alone with a local child, for example, or in a hotel room, or a child or young person is offered to a person for a sexual sexual acts, and a tourist that's looking for sexual services of children and youth, don't hesitate to call. We do have a 24-hour hotline here in Spain, and there's a group called Proyecto Esperanza, which works in Spain, and the telephone number is 607-542-515, and that is regarding any form of human trafficking. They are available and working tirelessly to help. Actually, I was going to have Marta Gonzalez join us on the program as well, but due to the fact that it is August, there are on call and lacking staff. So if you want to also help out with Proyecto Esperanza, you can do so. It also is a NGO involved in rescue and rehabilitation of victims, as is Maite Nepal Marbella, and I have Marian Steinaholm talking about, well, human trafficking, especially sexual exploitation. Marian, I have a question for you. When you went to Nepal and you saw this in front of you, how did you keep from getting traumatized yourself?
Yeah, it was mainly to see the children being children of, funny, it sounds strange, but they're very, very strong and they're very innocent. And when they come to Maite Nepal and they're safe, they kind of forget the, not forget what they've been through, but they kind of cut it, shut it out. So you see how good they have it and how safe they are. And that kind of made me want to help more children to get there and get more children out of it. But it was very hard because during the day we were told when we came there to try to obviously not bring up these things with the children because they're working to get on with their lives and move on. So let the children bring up things themselves if they wanted, but not asking questions. So we're a lot of playing or drawing with them and doing things and trying to have a good time. But when you know in the back of your head what they've gone through, it's very hard to put a brave face on. So when we got back to the hotel, I was just crying myself to sleep at night because that old emotions came out when you got back to the hotel and you closed the door and you just, yeah, you just couldn't stop the tears then.
Yeah. So I assume, I mean, because you are continually raising money and this is something that's very close to you, how do you deal with it even when you are home here in Marbella? Because I'm sure that you think sometimes about that face that you saw. How do you meditate? What does it just encourage you to keep fighting and raising money to help them? To although I don't think that there's ever going to be an end to the situation.
Unfortunately, probably won't for as long as we live anyway. But no, I just, I don't meditate or anything. I go to the gym a lot to get my energy out that way. But I'm just tirelessly fighting against it. And I've got a little girl that I met when I was in Nepal who's orphan. She has not been sexually abused, but and she's only 5 years old. And I took her as my sponsor child. So just I'm in contact with, obviously, with Maite Nepal in Kathmandu daily. And I get photographs of her and I see her progress. And I've sent over gifts to her so they will film when she's getting her presents. She's opening her packages. She had a cross-eyed vision. So I've just paid specifically to have that operated. So all these little things to see how she's progressing and improving is... that's something that keeps me going, and I can't wait to see her now in September again.
Oh, you're going back in September?
Yeah, I will be going back again for 2 weeks in September.
Excellent. And does this girl that you have sort of adopted, does she have parents that she lives with? Or
no, she was found on the street when she was about 7-8 months old, and she was almost starved to death. So Maite Nepal doesn't only rescue girls from brothels. They will also intercept any children that are in a situation where they could be exploited or where they are in vulnerable. So she was found when she was 7-8 months old, lying on the road, wrapped up, and she was almost starved to death. So they obviously always try to find parents, but they didn't. So she's now 5 and she's been in Mighty Nepal since she was a baby.
It's a nice story, but I would think I would have a hard time to not really adopt this child. And of course, I'm that way with even animals that I see abandoned. There's no comparison. But you just really, really have to be strong, which obviously you are. And so if someone wants to help Mighty Nepal, how do they do this?
They can, obviously here in Spain, when I'm going in September, I bring a lot of clothes. So one thing is secondhand clothes from children. And that's something we will be bringing over in suitcases when we go. So anybody who wants to help with that is very good. Obviously, I will be helping Evelyn with her event next week on the Monday the 13th that you've mentioned. That's an excellent time you can come and you can talk to us if you want to get involved and help out with our fundraisings here that way and work with us. That's another option. And obviously any donations, you can contact me either via Free Girl or I'm just setting up my website as well, which will be up shortly, which is mightynepalmarbella.com.
Excellent. And you mentioned this dinner again. It's August 13th at 5 p.m. in
Cascada
restaurant, and this is for everyone of any language. It's not a particular.
No,
I know that Evelyn is Dutch.
Yeah, but it will be held in English, so anybody international should be able to be understanding
So it should be a full house.
Yeah, it should be a full house, definitely.
A lot of fun.
Yes,
and
will
for
be.
A good cause.
It's for a fantastic cause. There'll be a charity auction, lottery. And obviously part of the tickets will be going to the fundraising. So it's fantastic. It's a great way of helping.
If you want to get involved into the program or if you have any questions at all for Marianne, we would like you to call into the studio. It's 952-78-4000. You can also send in a WhatsApp message. That's +34 for Spain, 645-99-67-95.
Spotlight with Stacey Pinkerton.
And tonight we're talking on Spotlight about sexual exploitation. Marianne Steinaholm is from Mighty Nepal, Marbella, and she's in the studio here to answer any questions that you may have. They are having a fundraiser to help out these young people who happen to be victims of sexual abuse, trafficking, and many other things. And that's on August 13th at 5 p.m. in Cascada Restaurant, Ev Marbella. Marianne, what else can someone do if they want to help out with the situation in Nepal?
I mean, one thing that I think is a fantastic thing, as I mentioned just before the break, I've sponsored a little girl at Mighty Nepal that I met when I was there in Kathmandu. There is a lot of children there that don't obviously have any parents. Some have been trafficked with their mothers, so they have their mother there, but a lot of them are orphans or we don't know where the families are. And to get them their education, to look after them, is a great way of helping out and knowing where the money goes and seeing, you know, getting to interact with the child over there. So I think that's a beautiful way. I've been encouraged a lot of my friends and people who want to help out. There are two different ways of doing it. They have a full sponsorship, which is €650 a year. That will pay everything for a child. If you think what it costs here in Europe, for €650 a year, you pay their school fees, you pay their basic, you know, vaccinations, medical care, clothes, food, and help for their housing at Mighty Nepal. So all that would be paid. So you know that they're completely safe and looked after and they're getting the education. And if that is difficult, you can also have some people who's actually gone two friends together and they pay half-half and they take a sponsor child between the two of them, which is also perfectly fine. Another option is to just do an educational sponsorship, which is €260 a year instead. And then you're paying just the educational part for them, so they get the education, school books, the school uniform and everything. So that's a great way, and you will then know the child. You will get feedback on how they're doing in school. You get pictures sent to you, so it's a nice way of seeing that you're doing something special for someone.
So you're sure that the money goes for what they say it's
definitely
going for.
If not, I can send pictures when I'm going there myself as well, which is what I'm doing to all the, so far I've got about 30 children sponsored through my various events and contacts here. So I have one suitcase dedicated now when I go, just with gifts for those children and photo frames and letters. And then I'm going to just extend and fill that suitcase with things, little letters from the children and images and things, and bring back to the sponsors when I come back again.
Do the airlines give you any exceptions for this? Because they charge fortune now for just one piece of luggage.
Yeah, that's why I can take so much things with me. I've been very, really, really lucky. We flew with Oman Air in November, and now I'm flying with Qatar Air. And I've spoken to them and contacted them way before booking the flights and informed them what I'm doing. So we've been allowed on the outbound an extra luggage per person. So we're four people going. We have eight suitcases, and we don't put any of our own clothes in there. We just bring hand luggage for ourselves. So it means we have eight suitcases full of things just for the children. And then I bring whatever, and most of my clothes as well, I just leave there after, and we go back, and I just go back empty handed.
How many times a year do you go?
Once a year at the moment. I wish I could go more, but I have to work here as well and be able to pay my trip to go there.
What if people want to, for example, donate their time or summer, and maybe they have a nice education or degree, and they think that they can help out somehow? Do they accept volunteers in that way?
Yeah, I mean, that's a fantastic way of doing it as well. I've had a few people who's come up with excellent ideas. I had two ladies here who were very touched in one of my events, and they actually did their own little fundraising for me and helped out. I came there as a sort of guest speaker, and they invited friends, and they did the whole sort of event instead of me having to organize it, because it's a lot of work. So they took all that work off my hands and raised money. And with that money, they sponsored a child over in Mighty Nepal. So they raised 650 euros and helped out with their time that way. And I also have a dentist here, a Swedish dentist, and she's hoping to come with me next year when I go. And she wants to bring the dental, you know, all the dental paste, toothpaste, toothbrushes, all those sort of things in the luggage, and donate from her for the children, and have a week when she's going through all dental care, how to look after your teeth, or gum diseases, and all those sort of things. So that's a fantastic thing to donate. So there are many things you can do.
One thing that comes to my mind is about the policing there. Is there a lot of corruption that they are also involved in these crimes?
Unfortunately, there is a lot of corruption, so it's difficult. That's why Mighty Nepal are working on the border controls, for example. They have 12 outposts along the border between India and Nepal, because it's a completely open border. So the main interception points, they will have guards themselves with the police there to go through every car, every truck that passes. And they intercept on average 120 women and children a month in all these points altogether before being trafficked across the border. So that shows how many they are trying to get out of the country that are actually being stopped. So it's a big job. But also in India, we try to, and I know they have people who tip them off, but also the other way around, when you have found out that there is a brothel that are having girls in cages and you go to raid it, you have to be very quick, because there'll also be police tipping the brothel owners off, and they move the girls or they hide them before you get there to raid the brothel. So, yeah, it's a complicated situation.
It's just amazing. Heart-wrenching, actually. So I suppose everything is a question of money. Also, there's a caste system, which affects these people, and particularly girls, especially from certain areas. And I suppose if someone has enough money from some charity or something as such, then they would be less likely to accept, I suppose, if they have any morals to get involved. But, you know, it's just...
It's a lot that can be done there, and a lot of help needed. And they can expand. Like Anuradha Koirala, who's the founder of Mighty Nepal, she's 70 years old today. She's just dedicated her life to saving girls. This year. No, not today, this year. And she's just an amazing woman. She's actually rescued over 36,000 women and children since she started with Mighty Nepal in 1993. And she's just tireless. Her work just goes on and on. But she says, You know, if I just had the funds, I would take every child, I'd take every woman. I would just, you know, just help me out and I will help everyone. I will. So, yeah, the more help we can get, the more we can do together when we stand up, yeah. Fight.
What about the attitudes of the men in Nepal?
In Nepal, most of the men most of the men we met are starting to become very informed. And that's another big job of Mighty Nepal. They actually go out through the whole country and to educate the poor regions. They do it with various theater shows. So the actual trafficked women and children, they will arrange their learning school and they do a theatric place. And then they will travel around and sort of guest the different villages. And they make songs. And that way they learn how... well, about this danger and teach them because they cannot read, they don't have any access to television. So this is the way, but it's a relentless job because the roads are atrocious. And so it's a slow work, but they're doing very well.
Step by step, that's all
yes,
we can do, right?
Exactly.
Okay, so if someone wants to get involved, they can go to this charity dinner, which is August 13th at 5 o'clock. They can also contact Free a Girl. And they can also contact Maite
Nepal Marbella.
Marbella to get involved, just in clothes and books, whatever, children's things. Also, what about, I know that, I'm sure that they don't have the stores like they do on every corner. What about women's feminine products? Do they need that as well?
And they do. We're actually looking at the moment one thing, because obviously something that is, a lot of usage is diapers and sanitary pads. So this is something that I'm currently working on, seeing if I can find one of the large companies who actually make them to make some huge donations, because that's, everything they need.
Excellent stuff.
TRE. Online at TRE.radio.